You're listening to Red Leg Nation Radio, the official podcast of RedLegNation.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to Red Leg Nation Radio, the official podcast of RedLegNation.com. I'm your host, Chad Dotson, the founding editor of RedLegNation.com. Not much going on in Reds land this week. The Reds just signed David Weathers, relief pitcher, to a one-year deal with a team option for a second year. David Weathers is not my favorite player. That's all I'll say. He gives me a heart attack just about every time he comes in the game, and that's all I'm going to say about this signing today. You can log on to RedLegNation.com to look for all the analysis of the signing and everything else that's going on in Reds land. I'm going to go ahead and jump right into the interview again this week. You'll recall in our last podcast, our own Bill Lack had an interview with one of our spotlight players, Matt Klinker, pitcher, right-handed pitcher in the Reds minor league organization. We're hoping he's at AA this year, Carolina. Part one of the interview was last podcast, and it was very, very interesting if you got to hear it. If you didn't, click on the RN Radio tab at the top of RedLegNation.com. Go down and you can check out the podcast, download it yourself, or there's in the right sidebar, there's a little podcast player. You can click on that one as well and catch up on any of the podcasts that you've missed. This week we're going to bring you the second half of that interview. Just as interesting, maybe more so. Again, I think if you listen to this, you'll be very impressed with the type of guy that Matt Klinker is. So, enjoy. Take it away, Bill.
Have you seen any coaching differences between the levels?
I think it's not just the levels. I think it's just each coach you interact with is going to have their own, just like a player, they don't have their own skill set. They're going to be good at what they're good at. You know, Doug Bear this year really, you know, what I really liked about him is he was focused. He would work on one thing, and we'd get that right, and then we'd work on the next thing. And all season long for me, it was a good inside hard fastball. You know, I have that fastball that I throw inside that sinks, but sometimes you need to just run it in there and not scare, scare him, you know, show him you got it.
Guy off the plate.
Show him you got it. You know, that's what he was good at. And something, I know I said you can't try to mimic what somebody else is good at, but, you know, if something was successful for some person, for some player, you know, you can definitely try to replicate that as well.
It worked for him on a major league level,
yeah.
So you know it's a good skill set
exactly.
To have. Exactly. Now, a couple times I was talking to you in the bullpen, you know, down around the bullpen last year, and he came down. Is he as intense a guy as he comes across when you're, I mean, as a fan standing there talking to you, he seems like a pretty intense guy.
I think he can go both ways. It's kind of the rapport you have with him. He definitely demands your respect. Once he knows that you respect him, I mean, he'll do anything for you.
Is there a Reds team philosophy for pitching?
I mean, there is. First is challenge them with your fastball. Throw your changeup. Your curveball should be your third best pitch. Or not your third best pitch, but your third pitch to go to. You want to get guys out with your fastball and your changeup. And then probably the second, I would call this your approach to getting guys out or your philosophy, is pitch to your strengths, number one. Pitch to the situation in the game, number two. And then finally, pitch to the hitter's weakness. A lot of times, especially in the lower levels, you're not going to know what the hitter's weakness are. You might get promoted. You might only be there for a short time. The hitter might be only there for a short time. It might be your first time facing him. You're not going to know what his weakness are. Once you get up to the majors, yeah, you scout guys. You know, you have the whole organization scouting guys. You don't get a scouting report. You don't know what their weakness is. But guess what? Your strengths is what got you to that point. You know, that's what you need to get guys out with. However, second very important thing, and any one of these can trump the other, but second, situation of the ball game. Sometimes that is the most important thing out of all. I mean, if you've got a big lead, throw strikes. Throw your fastball. Make them win the game by hitting the ball. So you know, nobody on, nobody out, tie game, you know, that's the order we go in. Then we got to shuffle it around from there. You know, if you got a Gary Sheffield up or a Pujols, yeah, you might have to go straight to number three. It just depends.
Do you guys have hitters meetings in the levels that you are now? Do you go over the hitters on the other team before the games?
Not one by one. I'll definitely look at the stats before the game, probably the night before. I like to just look at how many Ks a guy has. That tells me if he's on the chase. How many walks a guy has. That tells me if he's got good plate discipline. Stolen bases. And then probably my favorite stat to look at is last 10 games. Their average and their slugging percentage. If a guy's hot, you know, I'm going to remember that. I'm not going to let a hot guy beat me. I'm going to get that slumping guy, you know, that number 7-8 guy in the order. Go right after him.
I think this was before the Reds drafted you. We heard a lot of talk as fans about pitch to contact. Have you heard that mentioned at all since you've been with the Reds organization?
Yeah, and, you know, for me, that works. That's my game. Throw my sinker, pitch to contact. Lower pitch count, be efficient. This isn't me going away from the organization's mentality. I'm not sold that that works for every pitcher. But for me, that works, so I'm not going to question it. I definitely heard that a lot in spring training. Spring training last year, I might have been trying to make too big of an impression on people, trying to strike a lot of guys out. You know, I was nitpicking the zone, and, you know, I had probably three people in 3 days come up to me and say, hey, Clint, you got a pitch to contact. And, you know, I had some of the older players say, you're going to hear that a lot.
I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Do you watch your stats during the season?
Yeah, I'm definitely a stat rat. Not because, you know, it builds my confidence or hurts my confidence. I want to know what I'm doing. I definitely remember at-bats. I remember games. But that doesn't tell you the overall, you know, what my tendencies are, because you don't want tendencies as a pitcher. You don't want, you know, things that guys can pick up on. I definitely, probably the biggest one I look at is my walks per 9 innings. I want it, you know, in college, my college pitching coach said I want it below 3. I would like mine below 2. I think last year I finished maybe at 2.1. I'm not positive. It might have been a lower than 2.
Sure either.
I think 2.1. You know, in one inning, it's going to take 3 hits. Basically, 3 singles to score a run. If you hold the guy on, if you hold the runners, if you don't walk anybody, if you don't hit anybody. I'm pretty confident myself that I'm not going to give up 3 hits in one inning. So you eliminate walks and hits batters, your ERA's definitely going to improve.
You spend a lot of time working on holding guys on?
You know, this year I definitely did, which was weird because in spring training what they tried to preach us was, as you go up in the levels, less guys bunt, less guys steal. So I'm thinking, well, why are we working on it? But, you know, basically at that level you're going to have your guys who definitely bunt and definitely steal, and then also your guys who definitely don't bunt and your guys that definitely don't steal. But it's something that you definitely need to, you know, always improve, always work on. You know, there's a reason why guys' ERA is higher out of the stretch than out of the windup. A, because you have runners on base, but B, you don't get enough on the ball. You don't get as much on the ball when you're focusing on the runner. So it's something you always got to work on. And when I went to Sarasota, Tom Brown, the pitching coach there, kind of has the philosophy of, you know, he doesn't want to see a stretch and then a slide step. He thinks that you're from the stretch position, you should have the optimal delivery every time, where it's both fast and quick enough, but priority, you're making a quality pitch. And there shouldn't be a difference between if there's a fast guy on or a slow guy on. Should all be the same. Should be quick enough to hold the guy. It should be solid enough to make a quality pitch in the zone. Now, if there's a fast guy on, you're just going to throw over more, give him different looks, make different timings. But once you pick your leg, it's going to be the same thing every time, which makes a lot of sense because you don't want to change your mechanics between different pitches. You want to be consistent and repetitive.
Yeah, you could be tipping something. You could physically hurt yourself.
Exactly.
There's a school of thought that with the drug testing now in baseball, that the power game is going to become less of a factor in baseball, and you're going to baseball is going to return to more of a 70s game with speed and bunting.
I hope
not. Do you buy that?
I can see where the philosophy comes from. I would say that's like a long-term thinking. I would say that doesn't, I mean, honestly, I think the guys from the little league level 5 years ago to the big leagues have been preached, you know, the power game. Pitchers are throwing harder, so whether the guys swing harder or not, the ball's going to travel faster off the bat. I still think it's going to be a power game for a while. I mean, you got B.J. Upton. Guy's crushing home runs. Center fielder, not that big. And the guy crushes home runs. I mean, you didn't see center fielders that were skinny jacking balls. It's just the way I think. I don't see the power game going away from the game for a while.
Okay. What do you consider your biggest strength as a pitcher?
Biggest strength? Wow. I would say at the level I'm at now, compared to other guys at my level, it would be my control. Throw a lot of strikes. I would say probably overall, you know, I've stayed injury-free. Tell you what, I've seen a lot of talented guys getting out of the game because of injuries. And, you know, I had one of my buddies who, great college baseball player, played at Princeton University, Aaron Prince, shortstop. Saw him over the offseason. He's like, hey, it's a battle of attrition, man. You got to stay healthy, got to throw strikes.
Well, we had one of our spotlight guys from Princeton, Thomas Pauley.
Yeah.
They said he had, you know, all the talent in the world and just injuries and, yeah. Sidelined his career.
It's a battle of attrition. So staying healthy is definitely one of my best attributes, and then throwing strikes. And I think maybe that's why I've stayed healthy. It's because my pitch count's always normally low. I'm, you know, even in college, my coach kept me under 100 pitches. And, you know, thankfully. And, you know, throw strikes, stay healthy, take you as far as you can go.
What about a mental approach to the game? Do you think that's a strength for you? Because, I mean, I don't know a lot of guys that are playing minor league ball. But it seems to me like you probably put more thought into it than a lot of guys do.
Sure. I mean, definitely. How many guys did I? Man, this is gonna make me sound self-righteous.
I know what you're. Yeah.
But you know,
there's no good way to answer this.
Yeah.
Question.
How many guys did I see looking at the chart this year before they pitched? Not many.
Yeah.
Not many. This is their job. Really, this is their job. Do your homework. You know, that's what was preached at us at spring training. Is this is your job? Do your homework. Look at the charts. If you're in the bullpen, Take a lineup down there and a stat sheet. You know, see who you're going to be pitching in. See who they're going to bring you in against. If you're a lefty, you're probably going to face a lefty that's on deck. Check out his splits. See what he's hitting. You know, do your homework. I don't see a lot of guys doing that at my level. And I've heard at the upper levels they do. We'll see.
What's your biggest weakness? What do you need to improve on the most to continue to advance?
Wow. Definitely, you know, and this is coming from the organization too, but I definitely share the opinion that I need a harder out pitch. You know, they invited me to Instructs this year to work on my slider. You know, I think my curveball last year was clocked at about 68, 69 miles an hour, which is a good show me pitch, you know. 1-0, 2-0, if I can just flip that thing in there for a strike, guys are just going to take it. But as I get deeper in the count and they start looking for an off-speed pitch, they can definitely sit back on that and rip it. So that's when, you know, I'm going to start using my slider as an out pitch. And I don't know. That's a great question, though.
Well, I had to have one good one in there somewhere.
That's good. Slider, but there's got to be more than, you know, just one pitch that I need to improve on. I don't know.
How are you a different player than you were when we talked a year ago?
Wow. You know, I've had a full season under my belt. I mean, playing every day, you know, I took the kids down to Florida, 10-year-old kids, and, you know, there's no better experience than getting out there and playing. Cage work, you know, bullpens, sure, you can improve, but just playing the game every day, the experiences, the things you see, you know, there's countless number of things I've never seen in baseball before that happened last year. I'm like, oh my goodness. You know, it just opens your eyes and new experiences. You see what guys do to be successful. You pick up on that. So what have I gotten better at? I've had a whole season of baseball. You know, there's a reason why teams hire guys who are 42 years old and still playing, just a platoon, and it's not for their service. It's for, you know, what they can pass on to the young kids.
Institutional memory.
Yeah, no doubt.
What do you know? Tell us the biggest thing you know about professional baseball now that you didn't know a year ago.
It's a job. And not to sound depressing, because it's the best job in the world. But, you know, it is a job. It's work. You need to approach it like work. You need to act like if you get fired, yeah, that's bad news, you know? It definitely will light a fire under your behind to get your gears turning, to work hard, to focus, and just your entire approach to the game. And don't take the fun away, because any work can be fun, but, your mental approach has to be that this is my job, this is what I get paid to do, I need to be a good employee, on the field, off the field, so that the Reds get their money worth.
How much is winning stress to you guys?
I mean, honestly, the Reds organization, you would think it would be more. But it's not. The number one thing is definitely development throughout the whole organization. And I think that's every organization, is honestly the minor leagues are development. And it should be. It's hard in Dayton, where you're playing in front of 7,500 people at least every night, and you lose, and people aren't happy, and you say, well, guess what, guys? We got better tonight. We developed. And Donnie Scott wasn't that kind of manager. You know, he liked to win. And guess what? Winning breeds winning. And I loved his approach about winning. And should that carry over to the rest of the organization? I wouldn't mind if it did. I don't think the Reds community, the fans, I don't think they would mind either. And it definitely got to be about development. But there definitely needs to be winning stress as well. And it is. And winning's definitely stress. Don't get me wrong. But I think it could be maybe a little greater stress.
Does the general Reds minor league, does the general minor league baseball player care more about developing himself or winning for the team?
Developing. Without a doubt. There's not, 99% to 1%.
Isn't there a potential conflict, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about before, I think. Isn't there a potential conflict when you're on the same team with a guy? You got to play with him. You got to play, as a team. But yet you're in competition for advancement, and yet still trying to win. And and everybody's trying to develop their skills. Is that tough at times?
No doubt. No doubt. Capitalism at its best, right?
Market economy.
Yeah. It's tough, and that's why you definitely, in college, your whole team's your friend. Professional baseball, not so much. And it's not that you're enemies, just, you don't see eye to eye with everybody like you did in college, guys move, and, it's hard. You see a guy who you think you're doing pitching better than, or hitting better than, fielding better again, and they get moved up. There's nothing much you can do about it. So while you're together with somebody, you just try to bear it, grin and bear it, and play the best as you can. Like I said, when you start worrying about what other people are doing, what the front office is doing, who's getting promoted, distracting yourself and really taking the fun out of the game.
Is it easier for a pitcher to be friends with a position player than it is with another pitcher?
No doubt.
Yeah?
No doubt. Or, starter with a reliever. Hey, don't let my run score.
Yeah, because that happened. My wife was going to, who was that? I can't remember who that was that gave up that home run that one night we were there last
year. I think it might have been Jeffords.
My wife was going down to go after him. She was going to have a talk with that young man. Anyway, last year, when we talked a little bit about steroids and supplements and that kind of thing. and now one of your teammates, and I'm sure he's one of your friends,
yeah,
has been suspended for 50 games. Are you kind of conflicted in your feelings about this? I mean, you feel bad for the guy because you care about him. He's your friend. But it's one less pitcher that you got to climb over to get to just maybe start the year in Double A.
Mm-hmm. I don't see a conflict in the sense of like me feeling bad for him versus me feeling happy for myself. I really see the conflict as in me feeling bad for him because, yeah, he is my friend. He's a good kid. Like, you know, the conflict is really sits where, you know, maybe he was wrongfully accused, you know. Those football guys, you know, they were just taking a drug they thought was fine, and, you know, it blew up in their urine. I mean, that's where the conflict is like, you know, he's my friend, so I trust him, but, you know, he maybe he is, maybe he's not using. You know, you never know. But the bottom line is, he is a pitcher, but you know, I'm not going to wish anything negative towards him. You know, does it help me? Maybe, maybe not. You know, it's only 50 games. He'll be back. You know, maybe when he comes back, I'm slumping, and it actually hurts me because now we got an extra body. I might be the first guy to go. So, you know, definitely don't wish anything bad like that to happen to anybody. End of the day, he's my friend. I got his back no matter what. And, you know, it's unfortunate.
Let's talk about 2009.
2009.
You told me last year you do set goals.
Definitely.
Do you set promotional goals? Do you set numerical goals? Do you set both?
Definitely both. You know, last year it was break camp on time, get promoted, and have a solid season. Broke camp with Dayton, got promoted, had a pretty solid season. So I'd say check marks on all those. You know, at camp, I did get pushed down to Dayton right at the end of the camp. So, you know, maybe, and, you know, there's definitely no, I don't think there was any thought in any guy's mind in the front office that I would start at Sarasota. No chance. But in my own mind, you know, that plays with you, you know. Being with them the whole time in spring, and then right at the end, you get pushed down. So, you know, even at camp, I was like, man, maybe I'll break with Sarasota. But I broke camp on time. That was my goal. Checked it off the list. This year, you know, I would love to say I'm going to break camp with Double A. You know, but like you said, I had 6 starts in Sarasota. All likelihood is, even if I go down to spring training, light it up, where the pitching is, probably start off in Sarasota, which isn't a bad thing. Good weather, you know.
Beach.
Good people, good beach, yeah.
Daiquiri Deck.
Beach Club. So, you know, again, my goal is to break camp on time. You know, don't want to get injured. Want to stay healthy. Want to compete the whole spring training. You never know. You know, when I was in Instructs, they said, hey, we're going to put your name on the just-in-case list for the MLB camps. You know, we'll see. I doubt if it happens, but if it does, I'll be a happy boy. So break camp on time. Get promoted during the season again. Have a solid season. Those are the goals. Numerical goals, 100 strikeouts. I want to hit 150 innings this year. And then less than 2 walks per 9 innings.
How many innings did you have last year? Do you remember?
139 and a third. 140, something right there.
Do you think you're on the Reds' radar right now? Apparently you are if you're on the maybe list for the...
I don't know. I think that was just because I did well, you know, at the end of the season and in Strux, and, you know, I left before everybody else. So maybe that was just blowing smoke. I don't know. Blowing me hot air. But, you know, regardless, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to pitch well in spring training. And I don't really think you're on the radar unless you're a top 10 round draft pick or you're in Double A. So I'm not a top 10 round draft pick. So when I get in Double A, then I can say, okay, I might be on the Reds' radar.
What do you wish the Reds knew about you that they probably don't know?
I don't know. I think they're pretty well versed in, you know, who I am, and you know, they know I'm from Cincinnati, and I think they cover their bases pretty well.
You don't think there's anything in your skills they're not aware of? You don't think there's anything in your...
No, because I mean, surprisingly, you know, we had some guys get hurt. And you know, Harris Honeycutt retired last year in spring training, but you know, they I They moved me to starting pitcher without me saying anything, without my agent saying anything. I think they just said, you know, I think Matt will be a better starting pitcher. You know, I think they knew it, and I think that's the case.
When you were at Billings, did you start some and relieve some, or did you relieve all the time? I can't remember.
I did some platooning in the starting rotation.
Is that when they were still doing
split
the piggyback
games?
Things?
Yeah. And then I started maybe two games. I think I went four innings once, five innings once, gave up a run each, so that's a 2 ERA for those at home. So, hey, I think my ERA didn't lie. As a starter, a lot more effective. But, you know, if they ever ask me to go back to the relief role, that's fine. I'm their employee.
Are you more or less confident that you'll make it to the big leagues than you were a year ago?
Wow. Great question. Because even after a great season and getting promoted, you would think the dead answer would just be yes. Obviously, I'm more confident. I would say it's probably even. Last year, I think I was so naive and just thinking, oh, yeah, big leagues, no doubt. And I still think that. But, my eyes have definitely been opened by the game about, you know, how stacked, you know, our organization is in talent at the low level and right at the cusp. Of breaking into the majors and how talented, just the wealth of talent in the game right now. The game's definitely not hurting for talent, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, that's all I got. Is there anything you want to talk about?
Not really. I had the little the Reds top 10 prospects by Baseball America here.
Yeah, they came out a couple days ago.
You know.
Clinker wasn't on there.
No.
So it must be a bad list.
Man, no surprise there. No. Not a bad list.
Did anything on the list surprise you?
You know, Alonso, first off, as our number one, that was a little surprising. I mean, you got three guys right below him, Frazier, Stubbs, and Valleca, who... You know, they've done something.
They've had multiple good years in the minor leagues.
I'm not sure if this came out before or after. I think it was before
the Hawaiian
Winter League where Alonso tore it up. Now, if this, you know, is printed after, I might give it some credibility. I still think he has, you know, give me a full season and then...
I've said that on our blog, you know, that everybody rates him really highly and he's got, 20... minor league at bats at this point.
Yeah.
And he may be the hitter. I mean, the Reds, you would hope, knew what they were doing when they picked this guy in the first round.
No, he's a good kid. He hustles. I did read the blog the other day. A lot of guys saying he's got to improve his range. I would concur. I would say he's got, I'm not a scout, but I would, from my opinion, he's got major league plate discipline right now, today. And he works with A-Rod. Works out with A-Rod in the offseason.
That's not bad company.
That's talent that you can't even compete with. Yeah. So, and then just some other notables on the list. Soto, number 7. I saw somebody post that, long range, that's huge potential. That guy, he's going to be, watch out. He's going to be a stud.
Yeah, we talked a little about him the other day when I talked to Tyler, and he said everything he hits is a line drive.
Line drive.
Everything he hits is a double.
He barrels it up.
And I think that's exactly what he said. Everything he hits is square, and it's on a big part of the bat.
And he's got a laser,
Think he's going to stay a third baseman?
No, why not? I think he could be a great third baseman. I don't know why they don't move him to short. I think he's that athletic.
He's
could play
pretty
short.
Big guy, though.
6'3", 6'4"?
Yeah. But he's kind of broad, isn't he?
Nah, he's muscular, but he's not.
Like, see, he appears like a fairly, not heavy or anything, but a pretty broad guy. And for shortstop, you always think of him more as lean.
Yeah. It's a power game.
You should have been a shortstop.
No chance. Quarterback, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
And then, let's see, last car on here. That's another one. Like, I'm going to hate on him because he's the only pitcher on the list, but... You know, again, 20 innings last year?
Yeah. Is that all he threw?
24, maybe?
Wow.
I know he's a supplemental pick or second supplemental pick.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And he didn't throw a whole lot of innings the year before, did he?
No, yeah. So
it's either signed late or came in late or something.
You know, what I definitely see in here is if you don't have credibility, you got money. So I guess that's how it should be, but I would rather see credibility. or, you know, a couple years of stats taking a little bit more precedent over over just the draft and the round.
Who do you think of the guys that you know and that you've played with and you know, did spring training with and guys like that, what guys in the Reds organization do you think don't get the respect that they deserve? You know, who's a better player than their reputation?
Well, I'll start with don't get the respect they deserve. A lot of guys in the organization too have been ripping Mesoraco. And I'll tell you what, that kid has made so much improvement in one whole season. And the kid's 19 years old, maybe just turned 20. Another full season, he's going to make even more. The guy, he's going to be good. He made, you know, a lot of the pitchers weren't happy that he got called up to Dayton last year. And I'll say I was one of them. I was like, man, really? 18, 19-year-old catcher calling the games? I saw him in spring training, not the best hands, but I'll tell you what, for the organization, that was the best move ever. You know, he got a full year with a lot of the pitchers. He learned so much. Donnie Scott, God, they worked almost every day together. That was, you know, a catcher working with a catcher. Couldn't ask for more. He learned so much. He's only going to get better. But who doesn't get the respect, or who's the dark horse, the sleeper? Wow, that's a great question.
While you're thinking about that, let me ask you another question. When I first met Bo Lanier a couple of years, you know, down in when he was pitching in the Gulf Coast League, him and Russell Haldwanger, at that point, they didn't have an English-speaking catcher on their squad. Have you ever had to deal with that?
No.
Okay.
No. We had, in Dayton, we had Sosa for a while, but he was bilingual from Mexico, so haven't had to deal with the language barrier yet.
Okay.
Which is good. But also, a guy, he is starting to get some credit, some props, is Jeremy Horst, lefty this year at Dayton. The guy had an incredible second half. Lights out. And, you know, you watch him pitch, and he'll throw 89 to 90 from the left-hand side. Really good changeup. Just dives away from the right-handed hitter. And I don't even think he knows how to pitch yet. Or he does, but not to the level where I think he will be. He's going to be somebody to watch, too. You know, he had a sweet baby girl at the beginning of the year. I think that's maybe why he struggled a little bit, why his mind might have been off of the game. Granted, I mean, who can blame him?
Mm-hmm.
Second half, had the baby, it was healthy, and he was on fire.
Okay. Well, Matt, it's a pleasure having you involved with Red Leg Nation. We really appreciate all the time you give us and posting and letting us know what's going on with you, and we'll be checking in with you as the season goes along. Here's to hoping you have a great spring training, and who knows, maybe you'll start out as a mud cat.
Maybe. We'll see.
All right, man. We'll talk
Thank
to you,
you
soon.
Okay, thanks again to Matt Klinker for that interview, and thanks to Bill Lack of RedLegNation.com for organizing that interview and conducting it. I hope you enjoyed it. Frankly, I think it's one of the best interviews we've done here on Red Leg Nation. That's all for this week's podcast. Tune in next week. We're going to have an interview with another of our spotlight players, Logan Parker. And in the future, we're setting up lots more exciting interviews, and we're going to have another roundtable here soon, and a couple of other friends from the Reds blogosphere are going to join us here on the podcast. So stick with us. As always, if you have any questions, contact me at chad@redlegnation.com. Email me any comments, suggestions, concerns, questions, anything you've got, send it our way. Check the RN Radio tab at redlegnation.com for information on subscribing to this podcast via RSS or via iTunes. Thanks again. See you next week.